Hey, bye.
What is going on, everyone? Got Edward. Is it Neidhart? Did I say that right?
Neidhart.
Neidhart. Yeah. Okay, got it. What's up, brother? Nice to meet you. Ed's Painting Company. Just getting started, man. This is my favorite topic ever. So how did you arrive to this?
Well, I was about last year, I just started thinking about it. I'm always thinking about, a side business or, another way to make money. And so that's sure. How I came upon this. I just started thinking about it. I came over the logo and I have an EIN. That's it. I haven't done a single job or anything like that. I do have painting experience. I've painted professionally before. But I came into this thinking, I want something, because I have a good job. I make really good money with Jeff Barnhouse. But I just came into it thinking, well, I want another stream of income. I don't want to be tied to what I do now and just have to do it all the time. I want, options. I want some freedom. And so I discovered your podcast a week ago. I listened nonstop. And you kind of like opened my eyes to, well, it could be more. It could be more than just a side hustle, So that's where my head is at now. So I wanted to talk to you and just get your perspective, a fresh perspective on how to start. Because my situation is a little unique with my job, and I can take off a whole month, paid, of course, but I could do that and just come like that. I could take off a week, I could take off 2 days next week, just pick and choose. And so,
if need. Okay. So I'm big on kind of like end goal here, because you it's obviously from the outside looking in, it's like, hey, I can, do some painting. There's levels, right? The first level is you doing the painting, right? That's like, if that's level one at the basic form. Second level is someone else doing the painting for you. Third level is you building teams and nurturing those teams. Fourth level is you remove from the business, right? So there's levels. And what I find in business is, the side hustle mentality, you're not going to get far. You may get to level two where you have somebody doing it for you, but you're going to run into issues that you can't foresee right now, especially because you're working in people's homes. Like, things arise, right? There's a different, I would say there's a different energy when you know that you have people that you're responsible for in someone's home that causes a stress that a side business like selling some things online are not going to cause you, So these are things, and especially if you want to maintain a great reputation, which I'm sure you do. Like, everyone knows, hey, got to have a great reputation. You want to do great for your customers. You want good word of mouth. So these are some things to think about. In terms of end goal, you want this side hustle for a reason. I just want to know, what are you trying to accomplish? Do you want more free time with your family? Do you feel like you're not fulfilled? Like, what are some things that are going to push you through here other than you just want to make some more money?
I want the freedom to make more money, but doing it more on my terms. Like, I don't, with what I do now, I have to, I'm basically at the whim of, whatever is sent to me. And that's where I go and that's where I work. And to make a lot of money, you have to be working all the time, overnight sometimes. I've seen it happen to guys where it consumes them, takes over their lives. And I don't want to be like that. So I guess freedom is my answer. Yeah. I've been married for 21 years, I have a big family. We have eight kids. We're a big Catholic family. So I have to make money. But I also really, want to have more free time at the same time.
Sure. Have you ever owned a business before?
I wouldn't call it a business. I would call it a side hustle. This was maybe 20 years ago. Just ran. It was a sole prop. It was me refinishing bathtubs. Just supplemental income.
Hey, you draw. Sure. Yeah. So you know the dynamic. You're not coming in super green, yeah, which is cool. You know, homeowner dynamic, expectations, all that, which is cool. The first thing is, what I would do is, like, first let's map out what this level one strategy looks like, and have a clearly defined roadmap of like where you're heading in terms of first, let's look at marketing, right? How are you going to get these jobs? What is your strategy? If like I said, hey, Ed, need you to get a job by the end of this week, assuming we're starting on Monday. What is your strategy to do that with your own means?
Well, how I find contractors is I go on Google. And it just happened to me 2 days ago. I had somebody fix my garage door. And, so I went on Google. And what I did is I don't like sponsored ads. And I don't like, because I live in an area where I'm 20 minutes from Chicago, I'm 20 minutes from Northwest Indiana. You don't know who's coming. You don't know where they're coming from. And so what I do is when I go on Google, I look for somebody who is local, somebody who's established. So I found somebody in the next town over, a business that I trusted. And they're on top of the list, but I know what to look for. And they came and they performed a great job and they great customer service. Exactly what I was looking for. So that is my strategy. Is that's kind of my brand that I'm thinking of. I don't know if you saw my logo or not, but it's just kind of something that's local, something you can trust, something servicing and focused on, letting people know where our neighborhood
is. Okay. So that's a great long-term strategy, Ed. That's a great finish line, right? We got to build that reputation up to where we can be one of those companies that when someone goes to Google, we have the reviews, we have the photos, we have the social proof. But when you start out, none of that exists and you still have to compete, right? So the question was, next week we need a job. What's your strategy for finding a job on a whim, right? Because this is going to be something you're going to have to draw from for the first 4 to 5 months of your business before word of mouth even thinks about kicking in, right? So what is your strategy? If you don't have one, I'll share one.
That's what I called you.
Okay. No, that's what I'm here for. So let's do it. So the first thing I want you to understand, man, is that, you know, you are entering into a game that is already being played by a bunch of different people. And it's intimidating when you first get in there because you look on Google and you're like, man, these painting companies have great reputations. Who's going to hire me? I am not known by anyone yet. And in order to launch a painting business, right, you need two things. You need supply, which is your painters, and you need demand, which is the jobs. If you're positioning yourself as a middleman, which in your scenario with your liability that you have at home, 8 kids, married, expenses, my assumption is you're not just going to drop everything and run. Okay. I know that. Okay. Which could play to your favor because it gives you the leverage of saying, hey, I can't paint these jobs. So I need to find people that I could trust to do it. Okay. So both of these things have to happen at the same time. You need to start vetting subcontractors and you need to start getting leads, right? Lead generation 20 years ago is a lot different than it was now when you were doing bathtub refinishing.
Yeah.
Lead generation has dramatically changed. What you were describing to me is search engine optimization, right? So that company has optimized the search engine, maybe through a marketing agency or whatever the case is, to be seen by you when you searched, right? I love the perspective you gave me. You said, hey, I'm a homeowner. When I want someone, I search, I look in that area, I find someone I trust, okay? You can't enter that game yet, right? You won't be one of those companies that get picked because you have nothing yet. You have no brand, no review, no nothing. So what we need to do is we need to circumvent the system. Now, you might not like sponsored ads, and that might be your preference. But I would argue that the average individual who doesn't think like that does, right? And what that does is it puts you at the top of the page, regardless of how long you've been in business. It gives you a chance. But I don't think that's the play either. Because again, we're hoping that they don't scroll down and see all those guys with great reviews. So there's two other avenues that you could do to put you immediately in the game. This is what I did when I first started my business. I was like you. I worked a full-time job. I was debating on leaving that full-time job and I had no reputation, no reviews. I would look at painting companies. I'd say, how the hell am I going to compete with these guys? Well, along came Home Advisor. This was my pivotal strategy. And what this did was, is it positioned me to be able to do something proactive, right? So as soon as I signed up with them, they sent me leads, and those leads didn't know if I was in business for 5 years, 10 years, or 15 years. They just know that Home Advisor recommended me, right?
Yeah.
So I had to use my salesmanship to overcome my lack of experience. And sometimes you got to be able to balance that. You know, I don't know if you have sales experience, but really what that comes down to is understanding, number one, where does the lead come from? Home Advisor in this case was where the lead came from. Number two, how does the lead go through this journey? You did this already. When you just explained to me your journey, it's the same thing. One thing I would suggest for you is to go on Angie as a homeowner, right? Well, they changed the name. Are you familiar with Angie?
I've never used it, no. I mean, I know what it is.
You've never used it, but yeah. You know what it is. Okay. So you as a homeowner, right? Go on there and go through it and see what happens. Look, get a quote for a painter, right? See what happens. Okay. So then you can position yourself as a painting contractor, and then you can see how you need to approach it. Watch this. When you submit it, see how long it takes for those companies to get in touch with you. See what type of questions the customer has to go through. See what the expectations are. Next thing you know, you're going to say, wait, there's a hole here. These guys don't communicate. They're not fast enough. And the people that did communicate didn't provide a great experience. This is what's going to happen, right? So this is called a lead aggregator, right? So you have Angie Leads, Thumbtack, CraftJack, all these companies. Are you familiar with these companies? Have you heard of them?
No, I've only heard of Angie.
So, so you have Thumbtack, you have CraftJack, and once you start seeing this, so here's the deal. What they're going to do is they're just going to send you leads, but they're not going to do it for free. You got to pay per lead. So you need to be comfortable setting a budget for your first month in business. This is your startup cost. This is, you know, if you wanted to franchise a smoothie shop, you're paying $150,000 out of the gate for marketing, setup, shop, cleanup, inventory, right? Beautiful thing about our business, we can make the same amount of money or more than a smoothie shop. And our startup cost can be under $10,000 and we're in business. It's amazing. So if I asked you, hey, do you have $2,000, Ed, to set aside just for lead generation in our first month in business? Is that a yes or no?
No.
Okay. So do we have $1,000 that we can set aside first month in business? Yes or no?
Yes. I mean, like I said, we just bought a house. So like in January. And so I'm kind of house poor right
okay.
now.
But, sure.
Make money in the one.
So let me ask you this. Can you put it on a credit card?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So you put on a credit card. Here's the interesting thing, right? You come from an employee mindset when it comes to money.
Yeah.
And this is something I had to make the adjustment with, Ed, is that you get your paycheck, you pay your bills, right? You spend the money and you save what's left. You need to make the adjustment of when I get money, I need to reinvest back into my business. That needs to be an element that you are not familiar with right now, or otherwise the business doesn't thrive. You need to keep buying the leads. So if you spend $1,000 on leads with Angie, just so you know, this is what's going to happen. You're probably going to get 7 to 12 interested individuals in house painting, right? That you'll have their name, their address, their phone number, and their email. At the minute they submit the request, you get that information. You and I both know that with house painting, and that's what you plan on doing, right? House painting?
Yeah.
Okay. You and I both know with house painting, it could be a bigger job. It could be between $3,000 and $10,000. Really? Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you just sell one of those jobs, we've already covered that cost and you're rinsing and repeating, rinsing and repeating. Now, what about production? The sub route right now for you would probably be the best case. Have you thought about that?
Yeah. The sub route makes me a little uncomfortable because I'm not in control. And my idea was that I start off with one other guy with me. I learn the processes, learn the best way to do it, learn what I want to do, and just kind of build my own thing rather than something.
In any other case, I would say, man, that's a great idea. But we know the situation. You're working a full-time job. It's going to be sporadic. It's not going to be consistent. And there's this time period that you're not factoring in of vetting the employee. First vetting the applicants, vetting the employee, finding out if the employee knows how to work in someone's home. This stuff takes time. This isn't something you just do in 2 days when you take off, you know, maybe in this 1 month stretch, but then you got to go back. When you get a subcontractor, they already have a business, a good one. They already have a business. They already have a team. They already have a van with all the equipment, right? We're talking, you have low startup capital right now. If anything, you only thing you can do is buy leads and oversee the job.
So I guess my question,
unless you plan to quit,
would be, what do they need me for then? If they've got their team, they've got their equipment.
Ah, very good question. Good. Not everyone can sell. Not everyone knows lead generation. Not everyone wants to manage the customer relationship. It's very common. People would rather just get a phone call and say, hey, go paint this. And I'm an employee guy. I have employees. But I also know that there's a massive market. There's more subcontractors than there are business owners. True business owners that want to deal with client communications, that want to deal with sales, and that would rather get a phone call that says, hey, I can give you 75% of this job. You buy all the materials, or I'll give you 50% or 60% and I buy the materials. And you're making 25% on their work. If you find a great subcontractor, you can keep your job and you could slowly integrate this business and start building up the reputation. But I don't think that you have the time to train someone to work alongside you. You don't have time to paint, brother. You try to paint with your full-time job, you're going to be more stressed than anyone. There's no way you're going to be able to accomplish that with a full-time job consistently. You probably do a couple jobs a month, but if you're trying to build something, you know, it's going to be very challenging for you. You're better off trying to be a manager going into this. And that's eventually where you want to get to anyway. If you told me, Tanner, I've been working in my business for the last 6 months, painting alongside this employee, what do? I'd say, it's time to get out, dude. It's time to be a manager. And then you'd say, well, Tanner, what do they need me for, right? That would be the same question. What do my employees need me for? Well, what do they need you for? You have to run the business, manage the numbers, manage the customer, get the sales. You're doing the same thing for a subcontractor. You just don't have the burden of worrying about how they get there, worrying about getting them equipment, worrying about managing their job. They have a vested interest or else they don't get paid.
Okay. And so generally speaking, is it a 50-50 split with subs?
Generally speaking, yeah. I mean, but you're going to have to go through your own learning curve, right? I mean, you're going to start seeing all sorts of different jobs that ultimately are going to, you know, again, if the first key is finding the right sub. Now, this could be a single guy or this could be a team. daughter just pops in. This could be a team. This could be a single guy. It could be, you know, and then the communication between you two is what matters, and how you convey the message of what you're trying to accomplish also matters. If you go in timid and say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, like, hey, I have jobs lined up starting April. I'm looking to find some really great subcontractors and you were on my list. Just kind of want to know how it works in terms of what you expect in terms of pricing. We're going to be doing full interior and full exterior jobs. Would you prefer photos? Would you prefer measurements? What do you prefer? It all depends how you come across to them is what matters. Don't go in timid. They don't need to know you don't have jobs. You just need the network. You need to know that the person you're sitting across has his license, has his insurance, has workers' comp for his guys. That's, you got to protect yourself legally. And then you need to know when you call them, they're willing to go do the work. Hey, can I see some of your work? Or hey, do you have a job going on right now I can come by and look at? I mean, this is the level of intent that you need to pursue. So instead of worrying about your logo and your shirts and all this stuff that's exciting, find your subs and get your leads.
Okay.
Where do you find subs?
I don't know.
Okay. Let me give you some ideas. A couple ways you can find subs. I'm going to give you some hot ideas right now. The first thing is you can go to your local Facebook groups and ask for a painter. Yeah. Not many people do that, right? As a homeowner, say, hey, has anybody had a good experience with a painter? I'm looking for a painter to paint my house. You know how many people tag painters in those groups? There's a list of endless subs right there. Message them. Next, Sherwin-Williams. hey, do you know any guys that you recommend that I can work alongside with? I have some extra work. They'll give you a list. Go to my Facebook group. I got a Facebook group with 200,000 painting contractors in it. Put a post out. Those are free avenues right there that will probably keep you busy enough. You only need one sub. Right now, you just need one sub. It could be a solo guy that just is a great guy, great painter, and wants to make some money. And you be the sales and management aspect of the business. He handles the production.
And so,
but none of this happened. Go ahead.
I wasn't expecting you to say sub. So you kind of threw me off. So after.
Well, you're working. That's the only reason why. Otherwise, we'd be talking about employees and maybe you can transition there. But I, with what you told me, you got a new house, you got 8 children, you're married. Brother, I mean, you're not just going to jump ship here. And I know that. I mean, there's just no way, unless you're crazy.
Okay. And so let's say that goes well. I mean, I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Transitioning from subs to employees would be the next step, obviously, right?
When you meet with me, in the next 8 months, you say, Tanner, we're crushing it. I need to do that. Then we'll talk about that. And it's a great transition. It's a fun transition, actually, because you still keep the subs and then you build your own little team.
Okay. All right.
Pretty good?
Yeah, that's a lot to think about.
A lot to think about. My suggestion to you is look into Painting Business Pro, Eric Barstow. He has a course on it. He's like the sub guy. So, he has a lot of great information for you. That would be my suggestion. It's like a couple $100 for the course. And then after that, I suggest that, you look into Angie Leads and start looking into what that looks like to start getting some leads. And then here's the deal. Either you're going to do the subs first and get a good sub, and that's going to force you to want to go get leads, or you get leads and sell a job, and that's going to force you to want to get subs, right? So you need to pick which one you're going to use as leverage to help you move forward for the next one. I would suggest the easiest one right now is probably going to be set up the Angie profile, because you can get all that set up. You could get a couple leads, turn it off, turn it on. You're starting up. My software is Drip Jobs. So we have a startup program that you can apply for. You get 4 months free. So the reason why I think this is valuable for you is because if you do Angie leads, you're going to want those leads followed up with, and you connect it to Drip Jobs. And it'll follow up with them. So while you're at work, if you get a lead, while you're busy, you don't have to stress out that they're not contacted, right? So I suggest you apply for that as well.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you, brother. Good luck to you. I would love to have you back, man. Yeah. Tell me how it went.
I'll call you back. I'll let you know.